Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Pray that you would speak to us, God, through your word, and help us to pray and worship, and just enjoy your presence this morning, God, and get ready to live this day for you. So come, Holy Spirit, we invite you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to continue talking about Peter. I want to do a character study whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP. And last week, on Tuesday, I talked about the calling of Peter, and how Peter was called by Jesus to follow him, and kind of the events that led up to that time. And so after the calling of Peter, and Jesus invites Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John to follow him, and they leave everything behind, and they start walking with Jesus, they start following Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, you don't actually read anything about Peter until this story. So this is basically the next main event in the life of Peter. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens, of course, to all the disciples, to all 12 of the disciples. They experience a lot of healings, and they hear the teaching of Jesus, and they get sent out by Jesus to do his work. And they also see the calming of the storm, you know, that Jesus is in the boat with them, they're in the water. But all of that is, they experience it together as the 12. And right before this event is the story of the feeding of the 500, so, or 5,000. Is it 5,000 or 500? I actually can't remember. 500. 5,000. 1,000, that's more impressive than 100. I know. Last night, even when I was writing the notes, I was like, I should check, but I forgot to check. Sorry. Feeding of the 5,000. That's crazy. So they experienced that together. I can't even remember where I was going to go with that, but the 12 disciples, oh yeah, so they experience all of this together with Jesus, but you don't hear, I mean, you just read the gospel, there's no specific mention of Peter. So I think they're all common experiences together, and then this time is where we really get to see, oh, this happened like specifically to Peter. So I thought it would be interesting to kind of study this story and see what is happening. So right after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus says to the disciples, go to the other side of the lake. It's still in the Sea of Galilee. Go to the other side. And Jesus says, I'm going to dismiss the crowd. So he dismisses the crowd, goes up in the mountain to pray by himself. And then it's late at night. It says fourth watch of the night, according to the NASB. If you look at the NIV, it says it's basically a little before dawn. So he's prayed all night and he's now coming to them. And he just gets on the water, and we can see that the water is very rough, right? There's like a storm going on. It says they were carried away, the wind was contrary, and that it was quite rough. Because we see in verse 32, after they get in the boat, the wind stops. So there's, the wind is rough, it's a rough sea. They're trying to get across to the other side, and Jesus had been praying all night, and he comes onto the boat. And actually, if you read the John version, there is no version of this story in the Gospel of Luke. But Matthew, Mark, and John have this story. Only the book of Matthew tells a story of Peter. In Mark and John, it just says Jesus walked on water. And they don't mention the story of Peter at all. But in John chapter 6, verse 21, it actually says, once Jesus got in the boat, they immediately were on the other side of the lake. Isn't that crazy? So they teleported. But Matthew, for some reason, he doesn't mention it. So he gets in the boat and they reach the other side immediately. So that's kind of what's happening in this story. And before we get to this story, all we know of Peter is that Peter was a leader. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of Acts, it has a list of the 12 disciples. In the book of Acts, it's 11 disciples because Judas had betrayed Jesus and had committed suicide. And Peter is always, in all four of the lists, Peter is at the top. He is the first disciple mentioned, and we can see that he is a leader. And in the Gospel of Luke, right before the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to Jairus' house to raise his daughter from the dead. And so we can see that Peter is in the inner circle. Peter, James, and John were the only ones that Jesus said, among the 12, the rest of you stay. Peter, James, and John, come with me. Let's go to the house. So we can see Peter is in the inner circle. Peter was a leader among the disciples. And then we kind of come to this story. And so, let's see. In verse 26, the disciples see him walking on the sea. They are terrified and they say, it is a ghost. Verse 27, immediately Jesus says to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. So he says, it's me. It's not a ghost. Don't worry. It's me. Don't be afraid. And then it says in verse 28, Peter says to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so don't you want to know, like, what's going on in Peter's mind? Why is he saying this? So they're in the boat. I mean, picture this, right? They're in the boat. And the sea is rough, and the boat is rocking back and forth, and they see this figure walking on the water, and they're like, oh, so like it's a ghost. And Jesus says, no, it's me, don't worry. And what do you think is Peter doing when he's asking this question? Why does he say, Lord, if it is you, command me to come? And one thing we know is Peter was a leader, so maybe Peter, being the leader on the boat with the other 11 disciples, he's like, I got to do something. The disciples are there. The rest of them are all scared and we're all kind of worried. And we see this figure and we're all freaking out. And he says, it's me, Jesus, don't worry. And so maybe Peter's like, I got to do something. I got to say something. And so he says this, and maybe he was being skeptical, you know, like, Lord, if that's really Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to do this, or command me to do this. And so maybe he's like testing it out. You know, he's like, I don't believe you. You know, I don't believe that it is Jesus. If it is really you, command me to come. But I think, rather than that, here's my, yeah, I mean, you have to read into it a little bit, but here's my guess would be Peter is just saying it. You know, if you read the rest of the Gospels, a few times you see Peter just kind of blurting things out. And he seems to be kind of this impulsive type of a person, not very careful with his words necessarily. So in this situation, I just see Peter, the panicking disciples, and maybe he's like, oh, I got to do something to help them calm down. And he says, it is me. And Peter is just like, ah, just saying it, blurting it out. Well, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Tell me to come on the water. And so Peter just kind of blurts it out. You know, there's no deep, like, meaning behind it. He's not skeptical. He's not trying to test it out. He's just like, well, okay, if it's you, tell me to come. And then verse 29, Jesus, probably to everyone's surprise, Jesus says, come. Because, you know, if I were Jesus, maybe I would be like, you stupid, you know, shut up, Peter. Like, don't make these crazy requests. Don't be so impulsive. Don't be so, you know, like, if it was being skeptical, it's even more so. It's like, well, where's your faith, you know? I already said it's me. Why are you being skeptical? Why are you testing me? Just stay in the boat and I'll be right there. But Jesus, to everyone's surprise, says, well, come. Come. And I can kind of, I mean, the way I picture Jesus is he's like amused, you know? He's like, well, all right. You asked for it, Peter. Come. Let's see you do this. Kind of like when, you know, with our children, with Joel, one time, I don't remember what Mon was baking, but she had this great idea to include Joel in the baking process. And I was like, are you sure? I think he's a little too young. But she was like, no, I think it would be fun. So we started baking and we had this mixing bowl, and Mon wanted Joel to like take the flour and put it in the flour. And I can't remember what it was. I think it was oat cookies or something. So he took the oat and put it into the thing. You know, when Joel sees us doing something, even nowadays, he would say, I do it. I do it. You know? And he's impulsive. He's a kid. And we don't say, no, Joel, you can't do it because you don't have the fine motor skills. We just say, we're amused. And we say, okay, let's try this together. And I just picture Jesus going, all right, Peter, you asked for it. Come. Come. It's like an invitation. And then imagine Peter. Imagine Peter in verse 29. Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come on the water. And Jesus, instead of saying, shut up, he says, well, come. And so imagine Peter. Peter's like, what? Are you sure? You know, like, really? Come on the water? And maybe he's hesitant. Maybe he's thinking, you know, but the good thing about Peter is he just goes for it, right? He just goes for it. And he says, okay, I'm going to do it. So here, I think, is my main point, is how many of us, if we were in Peter's shoes at that moment, you put yourself in Peter's shoes at that moment, how many of us would say, actually, just kidding, Lord. My bad. That was very impulsive. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean walk on the water. No, thank you. How many of us would say that? Because here's the thing. I think the reality is many of us have already asked something like what Peter is asking. Right? Peter is saying, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come on the water. But in reality, I think all of us have asked Jesus for something like this. What I'm saying is we wouldn't have said it in those exact words, of course. We're not seeing Jesus walk on the water and we're saying, come invite me. But we often say things like, Lord, I want to grow. Lord, help me to grow in my faith. Help me to grow in my love. Help me to grow in my obedience. Help me to grow in this and that. And we say things like, Lord, open my eyes to see who you are, right? Open my eyes to see your glory. Reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. And we say, help me to walk more in your love. You know, help me to walk in power and in anointing. And help me to, you know, help me to walk in greater anointing, in greater power. And as we say those prayers, Jesus is amused, right, in a positive way. Not amused in a bad way, but he's happy about it. And he says, well, okay, come. Come with me. And join me in what I'm doing. And then we say, oh, no, not like that. You know, I want to grow, but not like that. I don't want to go on a mission trip. What are you talking, you know? I don't want to talk to a stranger about you. I mean, I want to grow in love, and I want to grow in my power, and I'm going to grow. But come on, God, like not like this. And I think many of us would say, no. You know, when Jesus says, come, many of us would say, ah, Lord, sorry, I didn't mean that. And when we look at the life, you know, of Bobby Connor, right? Our retreat speaker. I think this is what we see. How has Bobby Connor gotten to the place where he's at now? You know, I mean, I asked him, because I got to spend some one-on-one time with him, and I said, you know, what would you say to a young, like, pastor or a young person that wants to grow in the prophetic? And he said, the way you grow in the prophetic is swift and complete obedience. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, you just do it. Swift, complete obedience. And I think that's how Bobby Connor was able to grow. I'm sure he prayed, I want to grow. And Jesus says, well, I want you to go to this seminary where you're going to be speaking at their chapel and say whatever I tell you to say. And Bobby says, I'll say whatever you tell me to say. And the night before the thing, Jesus, I think, gives him a vision. And he sees the crowd. He sees every single student sitting down. And Jesus says to him, this is what you're going to say in the vision, in the dream. And Bobby Connor actually says to the crowd of seminary students, says, you are full of crap. But he actually uses the word, the S word, I can't even say it. You are full of crap. And Bobby wakes up, he's like, no way, God, I'm not going to do this. And then basically he says to Jesus, well, if I go to the class and it's exactly like the vision you showed me, then I'll do it. And he goes to the class, and it's just exactly like it, but there is one student missing. This lady, I guess she looked quite particular. And Bobby said, well, Jesus, she's not here, so I'm not going to do it. And then lo and behold, she comes late to chapel. She opens the door, she comes down, and he's like, oh, okay. So he needs to say it. So he goes up there, and he just says it. I mean, the first thing he says is, you are full of crap. And honestly, if it were me, I would say, come on, Jesus. You know, I'd be like, I can't, there's no way I can do that. I care too much about what they'll say of me. I care too much about, you know, whatever, I would make up excuses. But Bobby obviously is obeying God, and that's how he grows, you know. So, yeah, I think this is my main point is, how many of us, like Peter, say, God, I want to do this. God, command me to do, you know. God, if you tell me to go and tell me to do this, and if you show me that it's really you, then I'll do it. And when he actually does ask you, we say, not today, God. And then we see in the rest of the story, verse 30, 31, Peter actually, you know, he steps into the water, and it's incredible, and he's walking toward Jesus. And we've heard this many times, but he sees, instead of fixing his eyes on Jesus, he sees the wind and the wave that's around him, and then he actually is filled with fear. And he begins to sink. And right in that moment, Peter says, Lord, save me. And verse 31 is very good. It says, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and saved Peter, grabbed him out. So, I mean, this is also this gives us the assurance to step out in faith, right? Because we know that, God, even if I were to mess it up, what if Bobby Connor stood up there and he said, you are full of crap, and it actually wasn't the Lord, you know? He had kind of had a bad dream, and he just said it, and the school hated him, and the school kicked him out, and all this bad stuff happened, and Bobby says, oh, Jesus, I messed up, save me. Well, Jesus would come, and he would save him, right? And I think in the same way, even if we were to get it wrong, and even if things didn't go the way we wanted it to grow, we can rest assured Jesus is going to be there to save us. And I think that's an encouragement for us. We can step out in faith because he's always there and he'll always be faithful. And Jesus rebukes him, right? He says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? But I want to make sure we have the right picture of Jesus. Because when I read it, you know, the picture that I automatically would kind of think of is like Jesus is so disappointed. And he's like, what's wrong with you, you little one? Why is your faith so small? And he's angry. But you gotta watch the movie Matthew, right? It's like a Bible series. It's called Matthew. And the Jesus in that movie is portrayed by this actor, Bruce Marciano, who we had as a guest speaker many, many, many years ago at SP. But he had this vision of a different kind of Jesus, because all the Jesuses he saw in movies was so stern and so serious. But his vision of Jesus comes from, I don't have the exact reference, but in Hebrews it talks about Jesus says, you were anointed with the oil of joy above all your fellows. That means Jesus was full of joy and more joyful than anybody else. So the way he portrays Jesus in this series is, I think people call it the joyful Jesus or the happy Jesus. And so Jesus is constantly smiling. And so when you see this scene played out in the movie, Jesus pulls Peter out of the water, but Jesus has this big smile on his face. And he says, it's kind of like, come on, Peter, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? But not like a crushing rebuke, but more like, next time we could do this better. You know, it's okay, Peter, but don't doubt anymore. And he's got this smile and is encouraging. And so, just want to make sure we have the right picture of Jesus. But let's go before the Lord. Janella is going to lead us. Right? Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for this story. We thank you that we can see Peter beginning. I guess he's beginning to grow. He's growing, he's learning more about you. And here he makes that prayer, you know, the request, God command me to come. And he does it, God. And I pray, Lord, that for all of us, because I know myself as well, all of us, we make these prayers, God. We say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to know you more, God. Increase my faith, increase my anointing, increase my power, or increase the love that I have for people. And Lord, help us to be attentive to your invitation to come with you. And like Peter, God, I pray that we will not say no, but that we would take that step of faith. We'll plunge into the water, so to speak, trusting that you are leading us, God, and trusting that you will always be there to catch us when we fall. So I thank you for this story. I pray, Holy Spirit, God, if there is anything that you are speaking to us about stepping out, God, I pray that you would make that clear to us and help us to just walk out in obedience, Lord. Thank you.
Door of my heart, and I will answer.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even you know, like a command that is difficult, or if God is asking us to do something that seems difficult, we recognize that it is an invitation to your love, God. That through that, we're going to know you more. We're going to know your love more. We're going to go deeper into your heart. So, Lord, I pray that we would have the joy and the courage, God, and the faith, Lord, whatever it is you're asking us to do, to step out and obey, God. Yeah, lead us, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer or going through chemo therapy, radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for encouragement for them in their hearts, that they will not lose heart. They'll be able to continue fighting. So let's pray for our friends. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those who are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy to be revealed. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's pray for healing to come upon our friends. Let's pray for Dan Park, who is looking for a job in the U.S. so he could be closer to his dad. Let's pray for God's favor and leading and provision for him. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government and for all the churches, for all these different ministries that's listed. Let's pray for revival here. Let's pray for the young people, Hong Kong students, that they will not be so troubled that even to the point of taking their own lives. Let's pray for hope for them. Let's pray for the domestic helpers in our city, and let's pray for distressed families, especially the ones in poverty. Let's pray for God's intervention in their lives. And let's pray and just lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Many people are traveling over this Christmas time. So let's just pray for good holidays, good time with families. And please pray for those that are still here, that we will be able to work hard. And we have to cover, you know, some people that are gone, so that we will just have the strength and the wisdom of God to be able to really take care of the church the next 2 weeks. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the hospitality ministries, welcoming and barista. Let's pray that they would have the heart of God as they welcome people, as they serve coffee. And through this ministry, people will feel such a sense of welcoming and belonging in our church. So let's pray for these ministries. And let's pray for our worship team and the sound and AV team as well, to have a heart of worship and a heart for excellence, serving God and serving the church as best as they can. And let's pray that especially for the worship team, that their personal worship would go before their work on the stage. You know, that they would just love God privately, and that it would just overflow on Sundays when they lead the team. So let's pray for these ministries. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Help us to pray and spend some time with you. And for the rest of this day, God, to stay sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, we love you. We worship you. We honor you. We give you praise this morning, and we give this day to you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a really good day today.